you turn back to Numbers 13 and 14, which we're not going to read anything out of there, but Numbers 13, chapter 13 and 14, you find that Joshua was one of the 12 that got sent to the promised land as a spy. And he was one of two that came back with a good report out of 12. And he was one of the ones that came back and said, "Let's go take the land. We can take it." And 10 suppressed the two and convinced the common day culture to put his dream to sleep. So, here is what we're dealing with. For 40 years, Joshua's dream has been put to sleep. The very thing that was birthed within him. I don't think he had to muster it up within himself when he came back as a spy to say, "No, we can take the land." It was birthed within him. And common culture put it to sleep. So my question to you guys today is, has your dream been put to sleep? Or are you living in the dream? So, the title of my message is simply this: Dreaming with God. Dreaming with God. And the first thing that we need to do is recognize the lie. Okay? When we recognize the lie, okay, I'm going to change a little bit here and go to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Yet again, not going to read anything, but I want to give you guys scripture references so that you know that I'm not pulling this out of my hat. But Joseph, the favorite son, has a dream. He tells his brothers, "Hey, I had this dream." And basically, in essence, "Oh, you guys were bowing down to me." Typically, that doesn't go over very well with people, just so you know. "Yeah, I had this dream the other night, guys, and everybody in this building was bowing down to me. You guys okay with that?" It's probably a little bit off. So, of course, my mind yet again, I went to, man, you know, Joseph, you got to be a little bit smarter about pronouncing the dream. You know, I began to like kind of analyze, what could Joseph have done differently to make this dream go a little bit smoother? And the Lord yet again said, "You missed it, BJ." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, his brothers, who lacked a dream, tried to squelch his dream instead. Rather than find their own dream, rather than seek out their own dream, rather than grab a hold of something, rather than rejoice in the fact that he had a dream from the Lord, they didn't have a dream themselves, and they thought, "We're going to put it out. We're going to squelch your dream, Joseph. We're going to squelch it." So, of course, they sold him into slavery. Okay? They are actually going to kill him. But then they're like, "Hey, we can actually make some money off this. Let's sell him into slavery." So they just beat him a little bit, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. My question to you is, who are we partnering with? Who are we partnering with? Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, people perish." Where there is no vision, people perish. Okay? I want to encourage us that we need a vision. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, basically, in essence, says, "Do all you do as unto the Lord." So we have two things that we can do here, people. We can either say, "I don't have a vision, so I'm going to squash yours." Or we can say, "I'm going to do everything I do as unto the Lord. And I'm going to support you in your dream. Who cares if I'm bowing down to you as long as I'm serving the Lord in the way and capacity that he's calling me to?" Come on. Okay? So, I'm a firm believer in practical application. Okay? So, I've tried to kind of break this down. It's one thing to talk about scripture way out there and give you these concepts. And it's a whole other thing to say, "Okay, preacher, how do we work this out in our day-to-day lives? How do we do this in business? How do we do this in family?" So I just want to give what I consider a practical tool at this point. It's not what you do, but how you do it. It doesn't matter what you do. Okay? I could care less whether you're sweeping the streets. I could care less whether you're cleaning somebody's toilet. Or maybe you're the CEO of one of the biggest companies in the world. I don't care. Do everything you do as unto the Lord. That takes work. It's a constant preparation. I own a business. It's a constant preparation for me when my guys come up and say or do something or mess up on something that I clearly told them what to do, and I walk up and I have this choice. Do I squash you right now, or do I encourage you? Okay? The second thing is this. First is, it's not what you do, but how you do it. The second thing is change your heart where you are and then watch God work. I'm so fed up in the church of somebody saying, if God would only promote me, if God would only change this, if God would only do that, then I would be okay. Excuse me? We are called to be faithful where we're at, how we're at, when we're at. That is what we're called to do. And when we do that, guys, I'm telling you, when we truly serve God with a heart of, it don't matter. Yeah, I'm working at City Market. Seems like kind of crunchy. They're not giving me my days off that I want. They never tell me my schedule until the week before. And I'm kind of frustrated. But we choose to say, Lord, I'm laying down my feelings towards this, and I'm serving you in all that I do. And I'm telling you, you watch God work from that point. Because the dream that he has in your heart will not be squelched when you are partnering with him. The second thing is this. Once we recognize the lie, we've got to overcome the lie. Okay? So in Joshua 1 verse 3, it says this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. Now guys, this was the revelation that I got out of that. Modern day, I'm putting it into modern day terms. Joshua, when he heard 1 verse 3, had to stop looking in the mirror and start looking into the eyes of the Lord. 40 years, his dream had been squelched. Can you imagine? I mean, you talk about modern day depression. I mean, when you're having to walk through a desert with murmuring and complaining and this and that, you are going to get down on yourself. And when you look yourself in the mirror, you're going to be saying, I don't like what I see. How many of us in that job that we're doing or in the life we're living or in this, how many of us, the hardest part of our day is looking in the mirror and seeing that reflection? Because we don't like what we see. We can pull out the good. We can find the good in anybody but ourselves. Okay? We have to stop looking at the mirror. Stop letting our perceived conception of who we are and what we can do dictate what we can do. And we need to find ourselves at a place at the cross. We need to close our eyes. We need to find ourselves at a place with the cross. And we need to get so close to Jesus that we look in his eyes and we see the reflection of ourselves in his eyes. Okay, we have to get to that point where we don't let our perspective of ourselves dictate who we are. Okay, Joseph, after being sold into slavery, we talked about Joshua, now we're with Joseph. They're both J's. Trust me, we have a Jeremiah and a Jaden in my house, and I'm telling you, it is so confusing, especially when you're a little bit heated. Jeremiah? And so we're with Joseph now, after being sold into slavery. Can you imagine the walk, chained, whatever, riding, whatever? Can you imagine the walk? And here's what the Lord revealed to me. Can you imagine what happened when Joseph realized I didn't have the dream because of my earthly father's love? I had the dream because that's who God has called me to be, and God is bigger than my circumstances. Come on. I didn't have the dream because of my earthly father's love. I had the dream because that's who God has called me to be, and God is bigger than my circumstances. That's what I'm talking about. We need to jump into this thing. We need to realize that it's no longer about me and what my perspective is. It's about God and his perspective, and that's the only thing that matters. This is why you see Paul in prison just singing to the Lord, because he realizes that God's bigger than my circumstances. And guess what? Yeah, one of the times an earthquake came, shook, opened up all the gates, and bing, bang, bam. But the fact is he didn't sing because he thought there was going to be a result. He sang out of the pureness of his heart because he knew who God was. God is worthy no matter where we're at. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 is just a little tidbit for you. Jeremiah 29:11 is another one. I'm just trying to give you guys tools, because if we're going to overcome this thing, we got to have tools to go back to that's something more than what I said or what he said or what she said. We got to have tools that are firm that aren't going to change. So Jeremiah 1 verse 5, look that up. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, look that up. Yet again, got to bring it practical, guys. Practical tool for this. What's your view of yourself? We got to get to it sometime. We got to get to it sometime. Ask yourself within your heart, what's my view of myself? Do I view myself based on what I can do, based on what I can accomplish? Or do I view myself for what God says I am, for what he says I can do, and I trust him to do that? Okay? The core of our church, if you don't know this, this building church, I'm not talking about the church within our hearts that we all go and we can come in from, you know, different states and different things like that and all participate. But the core of this building, if you didn't know, is personal encounter with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And you can ask any one of the elders that. That is the core of who we are. That is what we promote. That is what we want. That is what we strive for. Why? Because personal encounter changes everything. See what I'm saying? If I'm sitting down and the Lord says, BJ, and he speaks something into my heart, I got news for you. I will never forget that. I have not met one person in my life that the Lord spoke something significant to that even if they were in rebellion, they couldn't remember. That's the power of personal encounter. And that's what we need. So Moses knew who he was. He argued with God. Maybe some of us need to wrestle a little bit with the Lord. Refine that dream. Research it out. Rehash it out. Maybe we need to find that. But Joseph knew who he was or found out who he was. David knew who he was. So when we look at these, we need to get to this point. I don't care. This is the point that I'm at. I don't care how young or old you are. Seek out and find God for now and partner with him. You want a practical application? That is it. That is so it. We have to make time to seek God out, to find him personally, and then encounter him in the way that he's doing. Now, guys, there are some really neat things that can happen when you know who you are and someone's praying for you or someone's doing this or someone's doing that and they confirm what you've heard, or when somebody's preaching and they confirm what you've heard. That's big. That's huge. That's key. But unless you had it on a personal level, sorry, the most eloquent speaker in the world can speak something and you can go, man, that's revelation from heaven. And unless you personalize it, it ain't nothing. So we need to determine that no matter how young, no matter how old we are right now, in view of eternity, we're all really young, just so you know. But no matter how young or old we feel we are right now, we need to say, this isn't the end. I'm at the beginning. I'm going to research out the dream. I'm going to see what culture's put to sleep in my life, and I'm going to passionately pursue that. Because we were all birthed with something, and that's the beauty of it, guys. Okay? That's why you can't look in the mirror and let it determine or dictate who you are. Because God birthed something within you. He birthed something within you. And you are the only one who can accomplish what he's birthed within you. And it might be where you work. It might be how you are. I'm not talking about going out and getting your ministry degree. I personally believe, we're off the message now, but I personally believe that the next revival is not going to happen within the four walls of the church building. It's going to happen in the marketplace. When people really grasp that I don't have to be the one preaching, I don't have to be the one doing this, I don't have to be the one doing that, I got to be the one giving a smile. I got to be the one looking in to every single person's eyes that I come encounter with, and I got to look past what they're saying to me into their, that says the eyes are the window to the soul, and I'm going to call out the goodness. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. I have a vision, guys. That there's a car stopped in the middle of a city, and this guy comes up to hijack this car and goes, hey, I need you. I'm taking your car. And he's got a gun to their head. And this person, rather than trembling in fear, and don't get me wrong, you need the Holy Spirit to do this. Maybe get out of the car if you don't feel the Holy Spirit. But all that I'm saying is this person knows, they sense the Spirit of the Lord come on, and they just begin to prophesy over this person. This person falls to their knees. They receive Jesus in the middle of the freeway, and they become the next Billy Graham. Are you kidding me? Look past what people are presenting to you and look into what God's doing And we're going to see that the people that we would have rejected, that should have been in the prison system, that should have been here, that should have been there, that should have been doing this, are all of a sudden the ones who are leading all of us. But guess what, guys? We don't care. Because we're going to propel them to the max destiny because we realize that God put an anointing on us. And it doesn't matter how qualified I am. It doesn't matter how many people this person saves or how many people this person heals. Because it doesn't impede with my dream. When I've got a dream, I don't care. Go as far as you can in your dream. And hey, if I end up serving you, awesome. Because I got a dream, you got a dream, and let's do it. It just doesn't matter anymore. So, our third thing, once we've recognize the lie, once we've overcome the lie, now we need to jump into our destiny. Now, I want to tell you guys something, and this is going to be profound, okay? Because I'm a landscaper, so this is going to be profound. I'm telling you, when you realize that you've been growing the wrong tree in your yard, and you've been feeding the wrong thing, and you go to dig that tree out, typically, I know a lot of us look at big trees, and we go, let's just cut it down. No, we're pulling it out by the roots, people. And this is really, really profound. I'm telling you, you're about to get an epiphany. When you dig a tree out from the roots, there's a hole in the ground left. There's a hole in the ground left. And I'm telling you, if you don't fill that hole, your kids run out there and they go, boop, boop, or your grandkids, or your wife. I mean, now wait a second, guys. No rejoicing. Come on now. Or your husband, or you're this, or you're that. No. All that I'm saying is there's a hole left, which means now we have to fill the hole. When you take something out and you don't fill it with truth, you are setting yourself up for a big problem. So therefore, we have to realize that if we're going to recognize the lie and we're going to overcome the lie, now we got to fill the hole. It's got to be filled, or else we're going to be setting ourselves up for a trap for ourselves. So this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? In Joshua's journey, it happened a little bit different. I believe that in Joshua's journey, the rubber met the road when they crossed the Jordan. Can you imagine it? Here Joseph is. He's got to be thinking something in his mind. I don't think when the Lord spoke to him, he all of a sudden became dumb and deaf. So he's got to be thinking something in his mind. And the very first thing is Lord, you've got to make a big thing happen. Because you've birthed it within my heart from my creation, yes, to overtake the land, but you got to make the first step. So he gives him this vision, or he gives him this instruction to go ahead, and they cross the Jordan River on dry ground. Now you can see Joseph went from a lot of us need to get our head up and our shoulders back again. Stop walking like this. Start walking like this. And we need to realize that God is going to be all that he says he's going to be from point one to point whenever, to that expected end that Jeremiah 29:11, which I told you guys earlier, to give you an expected end. Do you realize when we're pursuing the dream of God, he has all the way figured out to the end? We no longer have to worry about where my food's going to come from or what my this is going to be, or when I'm going to die, or am I going to die when I drive this car? No, we no longer have to worry about that because he has an expected end for us if we're chasing his dream. So, Joseph's began when he crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now, Joseph, not Joshua, I'm sorry, I said Joseph. Joshua's began when he crossed the Jordan on dry ground. I told you that was going to happen. Joseph's, I believe, began a lot later. I believe that Joseph's jumping into his destiny began when his brothers returned to Egypt and started bowing down unknowingly to him. That's a tough one for me to grasp without getting a little bit emotional, just because here he has a dream and he never sees it come to full circle. And then when he does, can you imagine the emotions, guys? Bless you. Can you imagine the emotions, guys? Here's my family. I haven't seen them in forever. I've been uplifted in everybody else's eyes except yours until this point. And here he's got this struggle. Like, do I reproof you heavily? Do I rub it in your face? Do I do this? He's got a lot of soul searching at that point. Even though he's been through Potiphar's house, he's been through prison, and he's been through the whole Egyptian government, he's got a lot of soul searching to do at that point. And I believe Okay, I believe this, and I want to tell you guys this. As you jump into your destiny, I truly believe this. In some form or another, the shadows of the past will test the light of the present. In some form or another, the shadows of the past will test the light of the present. And I can't give you a more sound advice than we find in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Again, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And it says, as I turn to it, it says this: "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here's my encouragement with that, guys. When the shadows of your past start coming in to test the light of the present, don't change. Don't try and turn it around. Don't try and run from who you are. Cling tight to the dream that God's given you. And walk forward. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because that's the only thing that we can stand on. So practical application, even though that was kind of it. Practical application is this, okay? John 3:16. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to say it. And if I get a word wrong, I'm sorry. It's hopefully not blasphemy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? I'm a word studier. There's important words to me, and the word believe hinges everything on that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's either fact or it's not. Okay? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's fine, but it all hinges on the word believe. Now, as I look up words, I'm sorry to the Noah Webster of today, but I despise the dictionaries today. They're just based on who knows what. So I went back to Noah Webster 1828 and looked up the word believe. Because everything almost in Noah Webster 1828 is backed up by Scripture. I'm telling you, every single time you look up a word, it always has a Scripture next to it. And I'm like, woo, so my wife bought it for me. She's an amazing wife, okay? Just giving her her glory moment. But she bought it for me for a gift for Christmas. I'm telling you, get the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. It says this in the beginning of it, and I'm going to stop there. Believe means to credit upon the authority or testimony of another. To credit upon the authority or testimony of another. Let me give you your practical application. Stop taking the credit. Stop taking the credit. When we get rid of my credibility, and all my credibility is found within the authority and testimony of Jesus Christ, truly then can I live a dream. Truly then can I live a dream. Because no longer is it based on whether I slip and fall, or I screw up, or I say the wrong word. It now is founded on Christ, who he is, and what he did. And no longer, guys, I'm telling you, I didn't even have this in my notes, but I feel like we got to go there. We have become accustomed as a culture to an abusive relationship. And I've only seen this a couple times, but I have seen, when I was in high school and since, I have seen women who cling to abusive relationships because they get attention, more attention that way than they do in other ones. And I am telling you guys, when we have a father or a lover that abuses us, and we find the attention to be irresistible, it will transfer over to God. And here's what happens, guys. We fall in the sight of God, and rather than a child, like if one of my children, I've got three children, okay? If they fall down in front of me, trust me, no one majority of the times is they're faster than me to embrace them. But the problem when you're in an abusive relationship is it's all based on your ability to be perfect. So when you, the enemy lures us in and he goes, here's a piece of candy. Here's a piece of candy, and we come up, and then he just backhands us. Like our wants and our desires are wrong. And then we get up because we're used to daddy. I mean, I can go to daddy, and you gave me a piece of candy, and then he backhands us again. So we learn to crawl away when we fall. And we don't ever show our face before that man or that person or that spiritual principality until we are made right within ourselves. We dare not stand before that person unless we are strong and we have the ability to. God is the exact opposite. God is the exact opposite. When we fall down in His presence, He wants us to run to Him. How many of you guys haven't seen your kids? How many of you guys have kids and you haven't seen them fall? And who's the person they look for first? See the kid who's lost in City Market or this or that. They ain't looking for nothing but that one or that two. Okay? That's the way we need to be with God. Instead of when we fall, we crawl away and come back to God when we're just all right now. Okay, I'm okay to come back in your presence. No. When we fall, we need to encounter Him right then, right there. It is the hardest thing in the world. Guys, I'm telling you. There's things that I struggle with and things that I do. I'll say a lie or I'll do something like that. And trust me, I want to go repent to the person first. I want to go do this. I want to make sure everything's right before I show my face before my Father God. And He goes, no, BJ, the first person you come to is me. Let me renew your vision of yourself, your vision of the person you're going to. Let me renew the strength and confidence. Let me renew the dream within you so that as you approach the other person, you can be truly repentant. We can't offer it up ourselves. Don't ask me why I went on that, but hey, whatever. So Mark 12, this is our practical application still. In Mark 12, verses 29 and 30, Mark 12, verses 29 and 30, this is also found, just so you guys know, in Deuteronomy 6:5. If you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 6:5 is the Old Testament. But in Mark 12, verses 29 and 30, and in verse 28, one of the scribes comes up to Jesus and he goes, what's the greatest of all the commandments? Good question, actually. And Jesus answers him this way. He says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, let me tell you what happens. We all go to this point where we go, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Body, just love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The instruction to this verse is found in 29. The first commandment isn't love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, or strength. It is, hear, O Israel. Because the only one who knows how to love you, the only one who knows how to love God, is God. So if we are not finding ourselves in a position or a place where we are hearing the Lord's voice and acting from that place, we're acting out of self-strength and self-will. That's running from the Father and trying to come to Him perfect. Well, when we listen to the Lord, even when we're weak, even when we're strong, we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because guys, sometimes, I'm telling you just from personal experience, and I'm not the man that you want to put up on a pedestal. I'm afraid of heights. But from personal experience, I'll be praying for one person and God will give me a word. And then I think, oh, the next person who come up, so I'm going to get a word for. And then He'll go, no, this person I just want you to declare my goodness to. Oh, okay, I just declare your goodness. He knows where every single person is. And He's so personal. It's like marriage, okay? If you're not married, you know, get there soon. Because it's the best thing in the world. Seriously, dying to self is amazing. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. Dying to self can be amazing. Okay, so here's what happens, okay? I'm talking to Ben, okay, because Ben's a person that I can do. And I'm going, Ben, man, my wife just will, we're having these problems and we're doing this and we're doing this. And Ben goes, BJ, holy am I, calm yourself. And he says, BJ, go to your wife and say these words exactly. So I go home because Ben gave me the words. And I go, wife, calm yourself. And I declare the words that Ben has spoken. And she slaps me in the face. and says, who the heck have you been talking to? Okay? That is not you. In the same way, it's the same with the Lord, guys. Every relationship is going to look different. Every relationship is going to look different. We love Old Testament because it's like going through Wyndham. You're like, which peregrine unit is it? They all look the same. And the Old Testament was like that. Do this, do this, don't do that, do that, blah, blah, blah. The New Testament is completely different, okay? John here can live in a mansion, and I can live in a shack, but as long as our foundations are founded on the Word of God, we're both living in the harmony of Jesus Christ. It will not look the same. It will not feel the same. This is why we need each other, but most importantly, we need a proper perspective of who God says we are, a continued personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So again, find or make time to learn the voice of our lover. That's simply the practical application. Find or make time, okay? Find it, make it, make the time to seek out our lover and know him well, know him intimately. Guys, a couple of verses that I want to leave you with, which I'm not going to read, but these, yet again, if we're going to jump into our destiny, we need some solid foundation. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, chapter 16. Verses 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And last but not least, John 14, 12. John 14, 12. In closing, I'd like to invite the worship team back up because we're going to have some ministry time. So as you guys make your way up, just start strumming whenever. We're not in a rush here. But my heart is this, guys. I think there's three things that need to be said, and I'm just looking at my notes so I can get the three things I said. Guys, if you're at a place of recognizing the lie, and you say, BJ, my dream's been put to sleep. My dream's been put to sleep. Modern day culture has put my dream to sleep. Or maybe you say this. Maybe you're in the case where you say, BJ, you've been talking about a dream, and I feel something stirring up within me, but I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know who this guy is, but I feel something stirring within me. Today's the day. That stirring within you is not something that's just some fanciful idea. It's an encounter with the Almighty God. It's a love relationship where he begins to re-empower you with the dream that you were created for. How many of us have searched that out through drugs, alcohol, this, that, you know, impurities of this world? They don't fulfill. They don't fulfill. It's because only God does. Only God does. So, first is this. If you say, I haven't even received the dream, and I want to encounter a purpose for my life that's beyond me. That's number one. And within that too, if you say, my dream's been squelched, and I need to recognize that dream that I've let modern day culture put to sleep in me. That's number one. And anyone on the ministry team, go ahead and come up, ministry team too. Woohoo, ministry team, come on. I called the worship team up and I don't see anybody moving. I am going to be singing a song for you. While you guys minister, okay? It's not going to sound good. It's not going to sound great, but it's going to be there. And now I called the ministry team up, and I don't see anybody moving either. I will be doing everything. While I'm singing, I will prophesy over you, okay? I'm just warning you guys. This is going to be really cool. I don't know how to play an instrument, but don't worry about it. Let's get back to what I'm saying. Sorry. If we can laugh together, we can live together. Come on, people. If we can laugh together, we can live together. So if you're on any type of ministry team, come on up. If you're on the worship team and you're not the main person, just come on up anyways and strum something. So the second thing is this, overcoming the lie. A lot of us are in a place where we recognize the dream. We got somebody. Yes. Yes. I don't have to do everything now. So, overcoming the lie. If you recognize, guys, that you're at a place where you go, I know what my dream is, but I haven't been living it out. And I need prayer. I need encouragement. I need someone to stand with me, partner with me, and really grab hold of this. We're going to grab the bull by the horns. Who cares about the little ring? Let's just grab it by the horns. Then please come up, okay? Please come up, because we need to stand together in this point. We need to understand that we got to overcome these things. We need encouragement. We need each other. Far too long have we been being Superman. Live free or die hard. One born identity. One man takes on the world. I will tell you how that ends. I've tried it numerous times. I've tried it just against my wife. You lose. Okay? You lose. We need partnership, guys. This is the importance of prayer. And third, jumping into our destiny. For those of us who say, BJ, I not only know what my dream is, but I'm living my dream. But I need some encouragement. I need just a fresh word from the Lord, because it's been far too long since I've really gotten that fresh revelation. Guys, that's what prayer is for. That's what community is for. Let's stand together. And the last thing is this, okay? Let's not be afraid of each other. Let's not be afraid of each other. Let the fear, let the guard down. Let the guard down and say, let's declare. And let's call forth that if you felt something stirring in your heart and you feel the Lord right now saying, go up there, that we're not going to be like, the seat's really comfortable. Guys, so many times you're going to find there's always an excuse. Trust me, we stay up till 1 a.m. and we're like, oh, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. with the Lord. And you're laying in bed and you're like, oh, Pastor Pillow is preaching such a good message. Dutch Sheets is prophesying over me. Deacon Comforter. Okay? All that I'm saying is here you have no excuse. You have no excuse. Let's partner with each other here so that we can go out and conquer. This is about resetting our feet, replanting them, solidifying them on who we are, and then going out and taking ground. So guys, I love you. And I even if I don't know you, I love you because you're amazing. And because you're the only you that there exists. And God loves you. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. And then, like I said, come up and get some ministry. Come up and get some prayer. Camaraderie with each other. You don't just have to come to these people up here. Camaraderie with each other. Pull somebody next to you. Pull your wife. Pull your significant other. Oh, my wife's a part of the ministry team. Come on. Come on. She just gave me the finger. Wait. So, like I said, let's camaraderie with each other. So here we go. Abba Daddy, Heavenly Father. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room. Let's all say it together. Father God, thank you for me. Woohoo! We all said it. How long has it been since we actually gave ourselves a little bit of time? So, Jesus, we just give this to you. I thank you for who you created each and every single individual to be. And I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And Father, I thank you that you have placed a dream. I don't care whether somebody says, I am on the last leg. You have a dream. Carry it out until the end. I don't care whether you say, I'm too young. I don't care whether you say, I've been ran down, ran out, and I am dead. Well, come back to life in Jesus' name. Come back to life in Jesus' name. Jesus, restore the dream. Holy Spirit, come minister to us. Come make us whole again, Father God. Let that hole, let that void that we've tried to fulfill within our own strength and our own power be made manifest right now and filled by you. Let us not trip or stumble on any hole anymore in our lives, because you fill it with your truth, with your life, with your light. And let us run, Father God, the race that you have called us to. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Come up for ministry if you want. There's a lot of things in the back that you can do too. Bless you.